The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
David Moyler is here this morning. Good morning to you, David. How are you getting on?
Good morning, lads.
Let's start with Manchester United, right? Let's just, what's the truth about where Manchester United are at the moment and how good a manager is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Well, as we all know, the table doesn't lie in Manchester United at the top of the table. You know what I mean? They're in good form. Everything is going for them. They're playing really well. He's been able to rotate his squad, bring in, you know, various different players at different times, and they've all, you know, they performed. Like I just listened to Nathan there speaking about, you know, the performance last week in the Premier League versus Liverpool. The thing for United was they didn't need to get beat. You know, they played differently as in opposed to how they played yesterday, in the sense that they left Liverpool come onto them, and it was only, you know, in the second half they kicked into gear to try and win the game when they probably should have gone on and won the game. Like, as opposed to yesterday, you know, you looked, there was a lot more free flow in it. The game was more open. Both teams kind of went at one another more. And United never came over the top. And if you think about it, yes, Bruno hasn't hit the heights in the last 2-3 games that he's been hitting for the last 12 months, but certainly when he came on, he made a difference. At the moment, they're the team who are top of the table. Everybody's coming for them. As you touched on there, Liverpool are going through a bad form. De Bruyne is out for Man City when they've looked like they've really kicked into gear. But certainly, you know, United are the team at the top, and they're the one that everyone are coming after. And, you know, you've got to give credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because, you know, there's been times when it's been really awful. You know, a lot of United fans have called for his head, but then he's managed to dig results out. And whatever he's done recently, he's found a winning mentality in that squad, and they always seem to get results. Like, they showed some stats yesterday that whenever they're behind, how many points or how many times they've come from behind to actually go on to win games and pick up points. Yes, I know it's the FA Cup, but he's installed that winning mentality that they're able to find ways. And, you know, look, they look good value. The question is now, with the way Liverpool are playing, certainly with, you know, Man City missing De Bruyne, I know they've still got a bunch of world-class players. It's how can they deal with that pressure of being, you know, the team at the top. That's going to be the big case. And, you know, they've got some really important games. I turned to my pals and I was saying I still didn't feel last week going into the league game against Liverpool that they were going, you know, looked like title contenders. I always felt it was kind of Man City's to lose and Liverpool were going to go after them. But if they certainly kick on now and get another few results, then you have to really regard them as, you know, the ones that are, you know, in the driving seat to win in the Premier League.
I think for me, watching the biggest thing that he has managed to do is not lose the dressing room at any point. Whenever there was a crisis, whenever it looked like he was one more defeat away from being sacked, the team would rally and then go on a run. And at that point you make about them conceding early or being behind at half time and winning games, like, it can't be a fluke, can it?
No, it can't. That's coming from whatever they're doing on the training pitch, whatever's been said in the change room. That's coming from inside. You know, and I think the biggest compliment you could pay him is what he's done with Paul Pogba is unbelievable. Like, you know, a couple of months ago, that lad had come out and he expressed his, you know, he wanted to go play with Real Madrid. And then his agent, of course, look, we all know what his agent is like. He's always out touting different things. But the form Paul Pogba has been in has been incredible. You know, we're really seeing how good of a player he is, because we all know it. He has it all in his locker. I've spoken about it many times, you know, from the times I played against him, his passing. You know, I think the biggest question had been his discipline. And it was quite interesting to see, you know, once United had gone 3-2 up, you know, and there was kind of a bit of pressure on, then obviously he makes changes and then he pushes Pogba out wide right. It's kind of like he doesn't ultimately trust him as the, like, the deep line, but there's no doubt in his ability. And he's been, like as Nathan said there, you know, the performance against Fulham and then obviously man of match performance yesterday. Like, that's the biggest thing. He's just found a way, whatever he's doing on the training pitch or what he's saying in the change room, they're all buying into it. Like, the only one who could probably be aggrieved in that team is probably Danny van der Beek, thinking, well, why did you sign me? But the rest of them are getting minutes, they're getting game time, and they're, you know, he's been able to rotate the squad a lot.
Can we read too much into Pogba's positioning and performance in certain games when there's not a lot of teams like Liverpool or Manchester City and actually the vast majority of teams in the Premier League, they can play him in the central midfield. So, okay, against City, maybe you don't trust them in front of that back four. But actually, we'll spend an awful lot of time analysing Paul Pogba on the basis of two or three games, whereas for three quarters of that Premier League, he's just fine in that role.
No, definitely. I think it's probably the bigger teams, as you said there, when you're really locking horns against like your Manchester City's, your Liverpool's, in the sense that you have to be disciplined and you have to be, you know, tactically spot on. I think with Pogba in that position, there's probably a touch of arrogance in the sense that he's like, well, I'm Paul Pogba, you can worry about me. In the sense, like, rather than, you know, being the team player and doing that, you know, what McTominay and Fred will do, of the sense that they'll do the, you know, the tireless running to try and get Bruno on the ball. They understand that Bruno isn't always going to track back because he's the one that's key to unlocking defences for them. In the sense, Pogba probably thinks like, do you know what? I'm not going to worry so much about De Bruyne. He'd probably say, you know, you need to worry about me because I'm well capable of doing what you can do. But yeah, look, you do read a bit too much into it, but certainly the signs are there, because anytime United have played a big important game, Pogba doesn't start as one of the holding midfielders. It's usually, you know, Fred McTominay or are Ollie's go-to men.
Would you sell Pogba in the summer now that his form is back like this, and, you know, long term, cash that chip in and move on?
No. If I were the United manager or United, you know, fan, I wouldn't want to get rid of him. No, certainly, as you said there, the form he's in. Look, he obviously, his contract was renegotiated in the sense that they activated his year extension, so he's there for another year. I felt at the time I came on here that was just a play that they could afford to sell him, that he still has value to them, because of course, look, if he's out of contract, we've seen what happens with players, then they'd probably try to move him on. I think that if I were United, I'd want to keep him, certainly with the form he's in. But at the same time, that needs to probably be a conversation between the manager and the player and say, like, do you see yourself staying here for the next, you know, four or five seasons and going on to try and push, you know, to win Premier League titles, try and get United back to winning the Champions League? That's kind of it's got to be driven from the player. And if there was a case, you know, that he wasn't 100% committed, then of course, look, you tried to move him on. Certainly with the way he's playing, the form he's in, like, they paid, what was it, 80 million for him. So they'd be well able to pull back 50, 60 million for him at the moment.
Yeah, part of me feels like that's the time to cash in. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised Liverpool weren't with such a strong team yesterday?
No. Look, of course, you know, Liverpool haven't been, you know, they've dropped 11 points. It's not been great. Obviously, going into the game, it's still Manchester United. Yes, it's the FA Cup. And you think about it, Jurgen Klopp has never really done well in the FA Cup. It's always kind of the fourth round, fifth round that they get knocked out. So I kind of felt that he was thinking maybe United might rest, but he was always going, you know, full whack. Like, of course, look, Mane was the only one who missed out. But I wasn't surprised, because, look, Salah got two goals, Firmino gets two assists, because he's probably looking, if there's any positives to take from the game, it's probably that, you know, Salah's back scoring. We score goals. They were probably the positives he'd take from it, but of course he'll be frustrated that they've not kicked on again in the FA Cup.
Sorry, Jar. Yeah, it was a bit kamikaze at times from Liverpool yesterday, and Klopp, I think, admitted that. Is that a sign of a team that are feeling the pressure, the lack of goals, that they didn't have the balance you would need against Manchester United, that they just seem to go all out attack rather than actually sticking to a game plan that would win them the game?
You talk about kamikaze. Yeah, look, I think Liverpool tried, from their performance yesterday, it was almost as if, you know, they've sat down, they've had conversations about it and said, we need to get back to where we were with the high press. Do you know what I mean? Getting the fullbacks high and forward and kind of leaving, you know, the defenders. Yesterday was the first time we've probably seen them really, you know, the two fullbacks both bombing on at the same time. And, like, look, you could see from the performance, leaving the young boy, Reece Williams, on his own, you know, and Rashford obviously gave him a tough time. It was very difficult for him. But it was almost as if they wanted to kind of go back to where they were. And they were probably, obviously, look, they're trying, you know, we've spoken about, you know, their form. They've not been doing great, obviously, with the losses they've had and the draws they've had in the league, that they're trying to regain that form and find that kind of balance. Yeah, it would have been a bit kamikaze, but certainly it made for a more entertaining and open game. And the fact that, like, like I said there, that Salah's back on the score sheet. Of course, like Firmino with the assist and that can only be a good thing going into the league. Obviously, they've got important games now coming up and they need to win the games in the league. But there still will be question marks for Jürgen. Will he sign a centre-half? Obviously, Joel Matip played last week and then he's not involved today. I don't know what's going on with him. Again, is he picked up another niggle or knock, or was it a case of Joe, we want to rest him for the league? I prefer to see Liverpool play like that and go for it than, you know, kind of be reserved and, you know, be solid and be hard to beat, in the sense that, you know, United have to, you know, their first goal, Greenwood's goal, is just a prime example of how United are at the moment, where, like, they break, Paul Pogba makes an exceptional tackle, it gets wide, and then Rashford hits this 60-yard diag that's incredible. And then, you know, look, we've all seen the boy Greenwood, he's an exceptional finisher. But certainly, like, United have more of a game plan. I think Liverpool need to, you know, regain that form of going out and expressing themselves and being on the front foot, you know, getting the fullbacks high and wide and attacking. So that's why, like, I wouldn't be too downhearted with that, you know.
Yeah, part of me was wondering, even if it was, or was it kamikaze, was this actually just the way Liverpool generally play? But without Henderson, without Van Dijk, without another second recognised centre-back, that it just looks that way because there's no cover, that there's so many missing parts of the puzzle that it exposes all the weaknesses, and particularly Reece Williams. And like, that's not going to change is the problem for Liverpool between now and the end of the season. Okay, Henderson may return, but it feels as though they're going to have constant problems at centre-back. And to not sign somebody, and Klopp has been saying this week that, you know, he doesn't sign the cheques, even though he is involved in the role, that it's not his decision, that this would be ludicrous for Liverpool to go through the final 4 or 5 months of the season without signing a centre-back.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, certainly after yesterday, that, you know, there is a case that they have to try and sign someone. Of course, they were linked with David Alaba, but you probably weigh up his wages, his age, and then certainly to think you have Virgil, you have Matip, and you have Joe Gomez. Yes, I know they're out, you know, but they'll come back in time. So I think, the David Alaba was never really going to happen. The big one is there's a lot of talk of Éder Militão, the Brazilian centre-back who's playing with Real Madrid. There's talks of him being available on loan. I think I'd go and get him. You know, you get a player on loan, it doesn't work out, it's fine. He returns to his parent club in the summer. Look, he's young, but, you know, he's at Real Madrid. That will tell you one thing. And of course, look, there's quite a few Brazilians in the Liverpool squad, so I think he'd settle in right away. But I think, yes, they just proved that, you know, Reece Williams, it's tough. You know, he's a young lad. He's trying to carve out a career. He's probably still pinching himself with the position he finds himself in, like playing, you know, in the Liverpool team. But at the moment, he's not ready. He's not good enough to be, you know, starting centre-half for Liverpool. And it will, he will cost them going forward. Like, if you think about it, if they had Gomez, Van Dijk, even Henderson in centre-back, they'd have read that Rashford situation, you know, the various times they broke down the left or whatever. You know, Reece Williams was diving into challenges. He didn't stay on his feet, you know. He had a really tough afternoon. I think that really highlighted the point that, you know, Liverpool do need to add another centre-half.
Was it a bit unusual to hear him talk like that, or is that kind of how Klopp has talked? I haven't watched enough of the smaller press conferences to hear him talk about the transfer committee and the policy and all that kind of stuff. It felt like he was slightly breaking ranks and kind of, you know, ratcheting up the pressure a little bit, like almost as if, you know, as if he was talking to the fans there saying, yeah, I want a centre-back.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. It's probably, I do want a centre-back because I do want to bolster the strength of the squad. Of course, there was massive, you know, question marks raised when Lovren left that they didn't replace Lovren. Albeit, you know, people can have their laugh and joke and say he was this or he was that, but, you know, even he said, like, Liverpool probably miss him more than he misses Liverpool. So there has been that case, and, you know, there has been a time when Jürgen has come out in the past and kind of said, like, don't be expecting loads of transfers, Nathan, and all that. You know, they've, for whatever reason, they don't have the vast, you know, amounts of money, but at the same time, that's kind of a good thing that they're not just buying players after players and buying the, you know, the wrong ones. I think with Jürgen, there's not been too many signings that he's got completely wrong. All have come in and really made an impact to the squad and improved the team. But certainly, I think if Mr. Henry is watching, I imagine that he'll know that Jurgen needs something. They need to find a solution, whatever it may be. And you know, I just hope that they can get a centre half in, like I said, on loan, or else a young, experienced centre back who has, you know, the potential for the next 10 to 12 years to play for Liverpool. They really need to get someone in.
It's been a big weekend for Manchester United in a number of ways, because their title rivals have had big losses injury-wise as well. So Kevin De Bruyne, it looks as though he's going to miss 5-6 weeks. He will miss the game against Liverpool in a couple of weeks' time. Jamie Vardy has picked up an injury as well. Are either of those players as important to their clubs as Van Dijk is to Liverpool?
There's probably a case that they're more important. Look, I know Virgil is a massive, massive part of Liverpool, but in the sense that, like, De Bruyne is their playmaker, he's their catalyst who, you know, makes everything happen. We always laud his passing, and, you know, obviously the assists he pulls out week in, week out. And then, of course, Vardy, what he's been doing for Liverpool for the last few seasons. There is certainly a case that they are as important, if not more important, for their teams, in respect that they're the ones, currently, you know, with Vardy scoring the goals. So there are two massive losses. It's just now, how do they deal with it? Of course, we know with Manchester City, you know, the size of their squad, is just ridiculous. You know, even if you looked at the team, you can't tell what way Pep will go, in the sense of what players he'll bring in to change for De Bruyne. But certainly they are two big losses, and it'll be interesting to see how both teams cope without, you know, their main men, really.
We've been having this conversation, David, over the last week, myself and Nathan, on air about the Liverpool and the Van Dijk issue and how it's affected the whole team. I can't shake the fact that Virgil played in the 7-2 against Villa, and he also played, you know, talking about kamikaze defending, I was like, when did we see that before? Oh, that very early on, that Leeds game at the very start of the season. Van Dijk played in that game and there was kamikaze defending. Like, I think that, you know, you stick Virgil in this team, it's obviously going to be better. But it's not the only thing that's going on with Liverpool this season.
No, you can't. You can't put it down to Virgil missing. Of course, it's the best way to put it is probably like they all connect. Do you know? It's like almost dominoes, or the way they all fall down when one score, when one gets knocked. It's like, if you have Virgil there, you know, and you have, say, Joe Gomez alongside him, then that releases Fabinho and Henderson to go into the middle, which adds, you know, that protection for the fullbacks to get forward. It's like almost there's 2-3 pieces of the puzzle that are just being shifted around. I think that's the impact. And I think it's Virgil's calming influence on the pitch. Certainly, you know, this, look, I don't know what is going on with Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's not, at the moment, everything is just going wrong for him. But certainly when Virgil plays, there's kind of that sense of calmness that, you know, spreads along the back four. He makes them better players. You know, if you looked at the situation Reece Williams found himself in yesterday, if that was Virgil, he handles them a lot differently. But at the same time, that's not, you know, I'm talking about Virgil, you know, bringing stability to the back four. It's the front three aren't performing. Of course, look, Salah got his goals yesterday, but at the same time, they've not been good enough in the Premier League, you know, with their creativity, their movement. You know, they've not been able to, you know, break teams down. They've not been able to get, you know, shots off. And certainly, you can't be saying that it's all Virgil. I think it's a kind of a complication of all of it that has come to unfold for Liverpool.
All right, Liverpool. Go on.
Sorry, I was just going to ask very quickly on Trent Alexander-Arnold and that massive loss of form, which again you even saw right at the end of the game, where Liverpool are trying for one last attack and his control lets him down. Simple things that weren't happening to him this time last year. They do have Nico Williams, they can play James Milner at right back. When a player's going through that sort of dip, very public dip, do you have to take him out of the spotlight or just trust that he'll play through it and come out the other side?
I think you can. I think it would depend on the, you know, the character of the player. I think with Trent, Maybe he does deserve, you know, kind of a week off, or, you know, just to clear his head and kind of go back and, you know, recharge the batteries. It definitely looks like Jurgen is trying to help him in every way possible to kind of play through that form. I think even if you looked at Firmino yesterday, someone who's been, you know, struggling as of late, he kind of played himself into the game. And I think they're kind of hoping that with Trent, because look, it's not been good
from Trent, I think he'll be the first to admit that. He's not been at the level that we expected, but it's also a case of he sets standards so highly for himself that it is very hard to mean that, and he is having look a dip in form, so you can't be too harsh on him. But certainly his deliveries, you know, his all-round game of his passing hasn't been anywhere near what we're used to. I think it was a few weeks ago, he'd lost possession the most times of any player in the league this season. I think it was 38 times, which is unheard of for someone like him, who has an exceptional right foot, in the sense of like his long-range passing, his crossing. We always admired it. Yes, there has been certain question marks raised over his defensive work, but I know, I think obviously they've got an important game coming up versus Spurs and that, and you kind of think like, well, you probably need him. But it might be worth something looking at, just to give him, you know, finding a way to give him a break, to clear his head, to kind of recharge the batteries and go again.
David, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
David Moyle giving us some thoughts there this Monday morning about the 3-2 win for Manchester United against Liverpool in the FA Cup.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.